You're listening to A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott.
And I'm Dennis O'Hare. Closing arguments have wrapped up in the Atlanta Public Schools cheating trial. Now, originally, 35 educators were indicted, and all of them at the time were charged with racketeering.
And some took plea deals, but 13 would opt for a jury trial. As noted, former APS Superintendent Dr. Beverly Hall died earlier this month. A jury will now decide whether the remaining educators are guilty. Joining A Closer Look to talk about the trial, former Georgia Supreme Court Chief Justice Leah Ward Sears. Justice Sears, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for reaching out to me. It's good to be here.
Good to have you.
I want to talk about the big charge of RICO.
Okay.
In a case like this, how difficult is it to tie educators to widespread conspiracy? Because when we hear RICO, we tend to think of like the mafia or things like that, which is why the RICO was initially established in the
1970s. Yeah. I think it's going to be extremely difficult to prove, because remember, it will have to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. And the people who wrote RICO did write it for the mafia and organized crime and that sort of thing, and said a little bit later that it wasn't just limited to the mafia and all that. But I think that's what people see in their minds, because, you know, you have to prove some kind of criminal enterprise, a conspiracy. And quite frankly, I just think that the average citizen will have a hard time seeing a group of educators as being part of an organized racketeering kind of enterprise that will have to be shown beyond a reasonable doubt. And then, of course, with the loss of Beverly Hall, I guess she would be the godfather kind of character.
The central figure.
The central figure. Getting all the other people would be extremely difficult. I don't think it'll happen.
And then also, this trial took months.
Yes.
About 5 months. So much information that the jury had to soak in and collect. How challenging is that for a jury to take all of that in and then be able to come up with a verdict after a long trial?
Right. People make decision makers at trials, as a former judge, you know, judges and now jurors, because they're the fact finders in this case, make judgments differently. Some people have a hunch, you know, they just go on a hunch. Other people will just go through the evidence point by point by point. So, you know, it's going to depend on the way that the educators, decide this case. Some will be hunched people. Others will want to go walk through all the evidence.
In your opinion, was the RICO charge a gamble here for the prosecution? Do you think
Yes, it's risky. If gambling is a risk, and I think it is probably so, I think it's going to be a loser, but it may have been the only way to create a net to get all of these people.
Well, there are lesser charges for some of them,
right.
And so the prosecution doesn't have to prove a conspiracy there. But with so many educators and so many counts, is it going to be hard for the jury, or in a case like this, do jurors, since they've already been there for 5 months or so, are they going to just take their time and walk through all of these other counts?
I think they're going to have to. I think my hunch is once they get rid of RICO, and I think they might very well, then they will walk through all the other counts, which, by the way, would be easier to prove. I mean, a theft is a theft. You don't have to show the enterprise and all this complicated stuff that you have to show for RICO. So I do think they'll walk it through.
And coming back to Dr. Hall, we were wondering in advance of closing arguments whether she would figure prominently in the summations by either side. And it didn't appear that she was a major part of it. There was, of course, the temptation for defense attorneys to say, oh, this was all because of the woman who isn't here and there was no conspiracy by my client. Did that surprise you that she was not a big part of the closing arguments?
No, I think the lawyers had a difficult decision to make, particularly given how close her death was to the closing argument. So you would have to walk really lightly on that subject, so close to her death.
When you look at that from the AJC's initial reporting to the state investigation to the indictment to the trial, How would you describe this entire saga and its place in history, this cheating scandal?
I think it's going to take, it's a big deal. It's historical. I think it's going to change the way that we look at standardized testing. It also changes, I think, many people's perceptions of teachers and educators and the education system, and particularly for minorities and poor children. I don't know what kind of reforms are going to come out of this, but there are going to be some major reforms.
And just to back up a little bit, it took a long time for charges to be brought against the educators. And some have said in media reports, well, maybe they should have just taken their license away, but it was a case that had to be brought because it was national news and because there was so many people involved. Can you understand why Paul Howard took a long time in bringing these charges?
Yes, I think he needed to be, you know, these educators in our communities are big things. So, yes, I think he was diligent and careful and really planned out his strategy carefully. I think he did a good job on that.
They brought in John Floyd, who's a RICO expert. When you bring in a RICO expert, and from what we understand, it's pro bono, but there have been other allegations that it cost the state a lot of money just to prosecute, as some say, teachers for changing answers. Your opinion in terms of that, it did cost millions of dollars, and we don't know that. We don't have those specific numbers, but that's what we're hearing, that it took millions of dollars just to prosecute teachers about changing answers.
Yeah, I struggle with this. You know, was this really, I know technically these are crimes. Was this an ethical breach on behalf of good-meaning teachers or a big criminal enterprise? With all that said, I think the money was well spent. This needed to be aired out. I think we all needed to jump in and make our judgments. So I think it was worth the money. I think it's going to be a lesson, a nationwide lesson, that we will all learn from. So whatever the outcome is, I think it was money well spent.
You just anticipate a little bit what I was going to ask, because Rose mentioned, well, they could have just put in a professional sanctions against someone who is proven to have participated in the cheating. But going ahead with criminal charges, does this send a message to particularly other systems in Georgia? And Atlanta was not the only one that got into trouble in the state investigation, that, okay, if you do enough bad things, you could end up in criminal court.
I think it does. But I also think it's an indictment about the educational system itself, You know, about putting incentives with if kids can catch on. It's not just for the teachers. I think it's for all of us.
But do you think the verdict will determine whether this sets a precedent, if there are at least some guilty verdicts, or whether this is a one-off if everyone is found not guilty?
No, I think regardless of the outcome, the lessons have been learned, and people are going to be very, very careful. The teachers are going to be careful. I think we're going to see reforms in the major reforms in the educational system. I mean, if we aren't smart enough to take from what we have now and do better, then, I mean, we really got a problem.
Was it an effective strategy, in your opinion, on the state to try everybody at once?
I think so. Now, as a defense lawyer, I don't think that's horrible, but for the prosecution and the state, yes, that's the way to go. And that's the tension in the court system.
And for the jury, as they're in these deliberations, then they've got to look at each individual defendant and decide who's guilty.
They do.
And so that's a challenge as well.
That's right. They are going to have to separate them out, and that's why it should take some time to do that.
Is that, though, then grounds for appeal if you're a defense lawyer and you feel that a joint trial really violated your client's rights? Does that immediately set up grounds for appeal if your client's convicted?
Yes. I mean, as a
doesn't
as
necessarily mean a
lawyer,
successful
right,
one.
Right. As an appellate lawyer, that would be the very first thing that I would say that trying them all together like that denied them their constitutional right to a fair trial.
But it is a tough call, especially for a judge
Sure.
who has to decide, look, all of these people are charged with being part of the same criminal enterprise. And we have, as Rose pointed out, lots of costs to consider. It's more efficient to try everybody together. Judge Baxter also had to make a lot of other rulings. When a trial this big, is it automatic that if somebody's convicted, there'll be an appeal of something he did?
Absolutely. There will be an appeal, or if someone is convicted,
if they're convicted,
there will be appeals. This is the United States. Everybody takes full advantage of the system, and that's why I like the system so much. But you bet. I think Judge Baxter made the same judgment I would have made. I would have tried them all together for efficiency and because you'd have to prove this enterprise. If I were a defense lawyer, again, I would appeal on that.
So this verdict, if there are guilty verdicts on some of these counts, this won't be the final word on this long case.
That's correct. Now, of course, in our system, unlike others in the world, the state cannot appeal.
Right.
So if there are,
no conviction,
that's it.
Yep.
In your time as a judge, did you ever have a case that took 5 months?
Never. I mean, I don't know if I have the patience for that. So I do give this judge a lot of kudos. I had murder cases that took 3 or 4 weeks, but 5 months.
And Judge Jerry Baxter, throughout this trial, has been very entertaining. But he's also kept the state and defense attorneys. I've been in the courtroom. He's kept both of them in line, in check. And I think that probably has been important.
They do. They have to control their courtrooms. The worst case, a judge not controlling his courtroom. I went out to the O.J. Simpson trial while it was Judge Ito. You may have forgotten. I mean, that was a long time ago, but was not in control of that courtroom. It took about 5 or 6, just ongoing.
He had a few personalities to deal with.
Yeah,
there.
He did. But he also, I think, he just didn't know how to control the courtroom, and didn't do a good job.
And since Beverly Hall has passed away, if there aren't RICO convictions here, is this, in your opinion, does this look bad for Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard?
Okay, not to me. I've been in the system a long time, and I know how difficult a job it is. But I think for most people, it probably would be, for the naked eye.
Former Georgia Supreme Court Chief Justice Leah Ward Sears talking about the Atlanta Public Schools cheating trial, which is now in the hands of the jury. Thank you so much for coming in and
Thank
taking
you.
The time. We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Justice.
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.